take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. 1 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter number 3. Of course, we know that are acquainted with the Scripture. We understand that this book of Timothy was really a letter that was written from the Apostle Paul to a young man by the name of Timotheus. And the English version rendering of that is Timothy. And he writes to him as a young preacher, as a young pastor, and gives him instruction concerning some things of the ministry, things that are very needful in ministry and in life for the believer. You and I are here this morning because of what Christ has done for us upon the cross of Calvary. He died that we might live. He went to Calvary that we might be able to go to heaven by trusting in Him, and He supplying that need. And so Paul is desiring to come to Timothy, and he's desiring to come to minister to him and tell him and give him more instruction as he writes this first letter to him. In chapter number 3, I want us to begin reading in verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. Paul writes, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So Paul is writing to Timothy now. He said, I want you to understand that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This morning I want to deal with that subject of truth. We are living in a nation today that has quickly gone away from God, turned our back upon the principles of Judeo-Christian morals and morality. Our nation certainly is a nation that is ruled without God. We don't have a whole lot of indication at all that things are going to get any better. And so that tells us that we need to understand how that we are to behave ourselves as a child of God, as a Christian. And that we need to know that the only way that we can have ability to do that is to know what the truth is. Now, the Bible says here that the house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth, or it's that foundation of the truth. And the things that we need to understand is that truth is held within the Scriptures, but you and I as believers, you and I as Christians, we are the ones that are accountable to God for maintaining this thing called truth. It does not do any good to have a book that we call a Bible if we do not read it. It doesn't do any good to have a book that we believe is inspired of the Lord if we do not read it and believe it and try to accomplish what God gives to us. And so this morning, I want us to look at the subject of the fear of churches that have no truth. Churches that are without truth. And part of the problem in our country today is because years ago, multitudes of people backed off of truth for formality. They backed off of truth because it was more convenient to go along with everything else that's taking place. And now we have a demise of Christianity. We are no longer considered as a Christian nation. We have gone from the ideal of a monotheistic people. That means one God. We have as our motto that we trust in God, but we have moved from that one God system to a polytheistic or a multitude of gods that we recognize, and the possibility of them also maybe having truth for us. Instead of praying for certain things, we have moments of silence. A few weeks ago, Brother Gallagher brought a message on that particular thing, that instead of praying, we just have a time of silence. Well, that sounds good and that sounds well, but we need to have a moment of prayer. We need to have times that we are alone with God and get the hold of the Lord. And the reason for the demise of these biblical churches and our worship services is that we have fallen away from the truth of God's Word. we have fallen away from the message that God has given to us. In the average local church of our day, there is a very strong lack of biblical truth. There are things that have come into play. There are things that have happened over a period of time that has taken the Scripture out of its place and has been replaced with certain things that are not true and not well. From the very beginning of time, the devil has always put a question mark upon the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said?" Has God really said what you think he has said? And from that moment on, the devil has been putting question marks upon "hath God said." He puts question marks upon the authority of the Word of God and the message of God's Word. I'm going to give you a number of verses this morning, and I'm going to read them very quickly. Each point that I make is going to have some verses with that, because really that's what it's all about. It's about the Word of God. It doesn't matter how well I prepare a message. If it doesn't have the Word of God in that, it is null and void. It doesn't matter how well we alliterate and make everything sound good and all of it is grammar is everything is well. That does not matter if we do not have the content and the context of God's Word and the message that he gives to us. And so there have been three main attacks upon the Scripture. One is that the attack of biblical truth. We read that a moment ago. Hath God said? Did God really say, and of course the devil come along, he said, did he really say that you not eat of every tree of the Garden of Eden? Did he really mean that? Did he really say that? And I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever this book says, God really means that. God really has a way of making us know that he means what he says and says what he means. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean exactly the way people take it. But when God says something, he's very clear in his statements. He's very clear in telling us of what he says. So there's been an attack upon the foundation of the biblical truth of God's Word. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm chapter 11 that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If our foundation is no good, if the foundation is destroyed, where are we to turn? It's sort of like when the disciples met the Lord one day and some of them left and departed from him, and the Lord looked at the others and said to them, said, "Are you going to leave also?" And they said, "Where is there to go? Nobody has the words of life except you." And so I'm here this morning trying to make us to understand that if the foundations are destroyed, we are in trouble. And the foundation that we build upon is none other than Jesus Christ and his word that has been given unto us. So there's a satanic attack upon biblical truth. There's a rejection of biblical truth. There are folks that just will not accept, will not receive what thus saith the Lord. But that does not change the fact that the Lord has told us to do certain things about truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2 and 3, Paul writes that second letter to this young man Timothy, and he's instructing him once again. He says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come." Now Paul warns Timothy, he said there's a time coming, and he goes on and says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." That just means teachers that want to hear and they try to make everything sound good and rosy. So there's no conflict, there's no problems. But I'll tell you this morning, this book is full of conflict. And we are in conflict with the God of heaven. Our sin has separated us between us and God. And so there's a conflict that goes on. But there's a time coming, and I believe we are already there, that many people will not endure what thus saith the Lord. Sound doctrine just simply comes into one word, and that's truth. And so we're going to be dealing and trying to deal with this little word, truth. Pilate asked during the crucifixion of the Lord, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? What is truth this morning? There's a world of voices out there. There's philosophies. There's a lot of things that are presented to us in our school systems, our national system that we live in. Everywhere we look, there are diversity of things, and we get to the point of saying, what is really right? What is really true? What really gives us the message that we're right and what we believe is truth? There are so many things. Every wind of doctrine you can imagine is out there to bombard us and to get us off track. So what is truth? Well, this morning the truth that we're going to be dealing with is the truth of God's Word. Because when you get out of God's Word, then you have no truth at all. Everything in the life of a believer should be judged by thus saith the Lord. Everything that we have, everything that we desire, everything that we hold dear to our life, we ought to be able to judge that and compare it to what the things of God gives to us. So there's an attack upon truth, there's a rejection of biblical truth, and there's a lack of the teaching of biblical truth. Now that falls on the responsibility of this pulpit. That falls on the responsibility of other pulpits around this country in presenting biblical truth. Now it's easy to preach messages that everybody likes. It's easy to preach something that everybody can say amen to. But there are some messages this morning out of this book that are not too likable, and we don't want to say amen because it cuts us. It reveals to us that we are not living where we ought to be. And as our Sunday school lesson this morning, God was giving to them in the book of Amos in the Old Testament. And the Lord is saying, you have a problem. And God says, I'm going to deal with the problem and I'm going to take care of the problem. And the New Testament tells us that the Lord deals with us as a father doth deal with his children. And so we find that there's a lack of the preaching or the presenting of biblical truth. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, and I want to read these words to you, and you can turn there if you like and follow along. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you. Peter's writing, and he's saying there's coming a time when there will be, there has been, and there will be, again, false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, that's damnable teachings or doctrines, things that are not true. So Peter says there's a day coming when this world is going to go after doctrines and heresies that are damnable. They come about by false teachers, even denying the Lord. He says here, and bring upon them swift destruction. Verse number 2, the results of someone preaching untruth is found in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious or wicked ways. When a person stands and proclaims a message, there are people that will follow him no matter what he says. No matter what they say, there are folks that will follow them blindly like the Pied Piper. And here Peter says those false teachers that bring in damnable heresies, ungodly doctrines, he says there's going to be many that follow their pernicious or their wicked ways. He tells us that in verse number 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words. The word feigned there means fictitious words. It means words that are not real, words that are not true. And so they bring in these fictitious words and they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now is long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. There are many today that we would call clarion preachers. They are just out for the show. They're just out for what they can gain and what they can get. And they say whatever the crowd wants to hear. Well, that is not truth. And that is not proclaiming biblical truth. And so we have a lack of the preaching of God's Word. We have a lack of proclaiming biblical truth. Churches today have traded preaching for programs. Nothing wrong with programs. Nothing wrong with having things to do. Nothing wrong with having ideas and ministries. Nothing wrong with that. But when you trade preaching for that, then you've gone too far, because the Lord says it's by the foolishness of preaching that He has chosen to save those that are lost. I got saved this morning because somebody preached to me the Word of God. I'm born again today because my preacher would preach the gospel. You're here today as a child of God because somebody preached unto you. It wasn't necessarily sometimes what you wanted to hear. It wasn't necessarily something that, the things that you desired to hear, but it's something you needed to hear, that we were sinners outside of the grace of God, outside of the fold of the Lord. We were wicked sinners against God, and only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We needed to hear that. And so there are churches today have traded off some good things, and they've done away with that which is the best. There are churches that have traded their convictions, and they've compromised. They've compromised truth, and they let things happen that would not have happened in days gone by. They've traded salvation for church membership. Just being a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just signing a card or going through the ritual, whatever it might be, of that particular religion, that does not make you a Christian. That does not make you a child of God. And many churches this morning have traded salvation just in order to have a number on the roll and people coming, and so they can boast of what they have and what good things they're able to accomplish. But there's no spirituality there because they have traded salvation away. Salvation is a belief and an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He died not just for the world, but thank God He died for me. And He died for you individually and collectively for the world. But churches have traded those things off for things that maybe are a little more popular. And they've traded God's words for man's reasoning. They've traded preaching for philosophy. They've traded the Word of God for things that have are foreign to God's Word. And they just want a worldly identification. And that does not get the job done. And that is not truth. And so, therefore, we have churches without truth. You go down our country this morning, you can drive streets of our cities and the back roads of our country, you'll find church after church after church. You'll find every flavor that you might want. You'll find every denomination. You'll find everything that we might desire and look to as a particular person. But we find that just because it says church above the door does not mean that it is a church that preaches truth. The bottom line, the important part, is the preaching of the truth. The rejection of that truth is so very, very prevalent today. It is devastating to our faith. It is devastating to our foundation. It is devastating to our spiritual growth. It is devastating for evangelism to tell others that there is a way of escape. Whether or not we want to admit it, whether or not we want to believe it, one day we're all going to stand before God. Every one of us in this building and every person in this world, we're going to stand before a holy and a righteous God, and we will give an account of our deeds. And these churches that have traded truth for all these other things, they don't warn people of that. And so therefore we have a nation that's ruled without God. We have a society that does not desire anything about the Word of God. Truth must be singular. I mean, by that, I mean you don't have 15 different things that are truth and they're all different. You don't have the Word in one area and maybe the Word in some other area. We have the Word of God. And the message that we hold and that we claim this morning is the message of God's Word. Psalms 12, verse number 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. Thank God they are pure. His word is pure, without any mixture of error. When the Lord inspired these old men of to write down the word of the Lord, we read the other day where Jeremiah got the message. God said, "You write down my words, just what I say." And we find that we have the pure words of the Lord. When the Lord has inspired the scriptures, they were pure and they were holy, and they are before us. It says that thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm glad this morning I can hold this book up and I can declare to you, I believe I have a copy, a preserved word of the Lord. We have the message from God, and therefore it must be singular. I have a bunch of Bibles. I have a bunch of books here. And just for illustration's sake, here's one that is called the CEV. Here's one that is called Reach Out. Here's one that's a Living Bible. Here's one that's Good News for Modern Man. Here's one that is American Standard Version. Here's one, the RSV. Here's one that is the Amplified Version. And I've got that many, twice that many more different kinds of Bibles that people try to make us to say they're all the same. Problem is, they're not the same. They're not the same. Now, there's some, I can take every one of these books. This shows you how the Lord tells us He preserves His Word. I can take every one of this, and as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, this is probably the worst one that's ever been put out. It's not very popular today. It's gone out of existence. Good News for Modern Man. But I can take this book right here, and I can take it to someone that needs to know the Lord, and I can find some scriptures in there that will help them to understand how to be saved. God preserves the most important parts of His Word. But why have second best? Why have that which is changed? And don't get me wrong, and when I say this, I even get in trouble with some of my preacher friends. I believe there are some words in this Bible that are hard to understand. There are some words that are difficult. There are some words that we don't use the way that's used in 1611. I have a Bible here that I revere almost as much as I do my King James. It was published before King James was. It's called the Geneva Bible. And it has almost word for word what we have in our book. Did they have the Bible before King James? Well, sure they did. Do they have the Bible today? Sure we do. But we need to be singular in our thinking that what we believe is true and pure and preserved unto us by the Holy Spirit of God. That God has given to us a message whereby we can tell the world it's worked for over 400 years. I believe it's still going to work. Somebody says, well, I don't understand those old archaic words. Get you a dictionary. I do all the time. I look it up and then we talk about what it is and what the words are. But this book here has been proven, tested, and tried that it is the Word of God. And this morning we have a singular approach to Scripture, and it is God's Holy Word. Things that are different are not the same. Every one of those books that are laying there are different. You know why they have to be different? Because the publishing houses have to make changes, significant changes, in order to be able to publish them because of copyright laws. This book here that you hold in your lap and I have before me has no copyright. It is free to be copied. It is free to be taken. It is free to be translated into other languages. It is free to have everything done to it that would be possible to preserve and continue on in the Word of the Lord. Bible printing has become a lucrative profession. And that's what they are so much dependent upon. But the Word of God must be singular. We must know where we stand. We must know what we believe. The Word of God, the truth of the Lord's Word, must be authoritative. That just simply means when God says it, we understand that He means it. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise. Here we find God says, I speak with authority, and we're not to despise His Word or despise those that will deliver His Word to us. The Word of God is our foundation that we build upon. The truth of God's Word. If the foundation, that verse I quoted a while ago, Psalm 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation of a building is destroyed, you have to rebuild it, because it's going to fall in sometime. It's going to get to the point you can't use it, because the foundation crumbles under that. And I said, we mentioned this last week, the foundation on this building is not as it should be, and we've had problems with it since 86, 87, and we have troubles. We have to redo things all the time because the foundation is not correct. Back a few years ago, the concrete that was selling here in Madisonville and some other areas was defective concrete. And we built a building out here. We're using it. It's our kindergarten building at this time. And the foundation in it is not right, because the concrete that we used in the foundation begins to crumble. What's going on? What do we do? Well, it gets to the point that you have to redo. And if the foundations of the Word of God have been destroyed, if the foundation of our Lord, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The only thing that we can do is to proclaim what thus saith the Lord, even though it's not politically correct, even though it's not easily taken, even though people will reject it, we still are under the command of God to preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. And there's nothing else that can be done except to rebuild. Truth. Have any of you all, and you can raise your hand if you have any of you all in here this morning ever been called narrow-minded? I'm going to raise my hand. I'll raise both my hands. Well, you're just narrow-minded. You know what they're saying? I don't agree with you. You know what they're saying is, you're too straight for my liking. Well, guess what? Truth is very narrow. Very narrow. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's pretty narrow. Jesus said, only through me can you enter into the gates of heaven. That's pretty narrow. That means those folks that teach we go to heaven because we're baptized, that's a little broader than what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, Jesus, I am the way. Baptism's important. Baptism is very, very important. But it's not the way to glory. It's not the way to heaven. These folks that say, well, I know Jesus is the truth, but I've got to do this. I've got to make sure I make everything right in my life. I've got to make sure my life is pure and clean. Guess what? You'll never make it that way. Salvation is by, it's very narrow, salvation is by what? Grace. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what I believe about the church. That doesn't make me a Christian. It's not what I believe about baptism. That does not make me a Christian. It's not what I believe about any of the main doctrines of the Word of God. That's not what makes me a Christian. What makes me a Christian is what I believe about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, the devil, he's pretty sly. He's pretty slick. He's our advocate. And he muddles up all the doctrines of salvation and gives people all kind of confusions on how to get saved, when Jesus said, one way. The devil says, oh, there's got to be more than one way. That's just too easy.
or that's just too hard. He'll give you whatever fits your thinking process. Well, there's got to be more. I've had people tell me, preacher, there's got to be more going to heaven than me just believing. The Bible is so narrow. He says, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's believing. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. But the devil, he muddles it all up and he confuses the issue. He makes too many gray areas, because you can be wrong about anything in this book and still go to heaven if you're right on salvation. You can be wrong about all the other things of God's Word and be right on salvation, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And that's how we are saved. And so the truth, not only is it foundational, not only is it authoritative, but the truth is very, very narrow. If it's not narrow, then it's not truth. You can't go east and say you're going west. You can't go north and hope you're going south, because it does not work that way. Truth is very, very narrow. Truth also brings about conviction. That's why we're in the problem we're in this morning in our country. There's no conviction. The conviction is lost because there's no preaching. Very little authoritative preaching. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that the Apostle Peter, he preached that great message on the day of Pentecost. And they heard the message given to them. And Acts chapter 2 verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto the Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were presented with the truth, and Peter gave to them the history of Israel and the things that brought them to the point of the day of Pentecost, and they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart, and they said, what are we going to do? Conviction brings about action. Conviction brings about a process in our life that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just a hearer of the Word of God, but we become then a doer. He beholdeth himself in a glass, and we look at ourselves as we follow the message. Truth is unchanging. That's part of that very narrow. The words of God are pure words, as we read a moment ago, and they're preserved for generations forever. The truth must be recognized as such. We must understand that truth is truth, regardless of generation, regardless of age, regardless of where we live, regardless of our ethnic background, our language. Truth is recognized as truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because we received the word of God which ye heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of truth, the word of God, the effectual word of God, the effects of God's word in our life. We have become so very smart in our modern age, but we wonder why. And I mean, our society is very, very intelligent. There's many things that I'm ignorant on, most things I'm ignorant on. But our society, we have some very intelligent people, and we have everything at our disposal. We have everything that ought to make us better. We have the money for all the programs, but wonder why we're still going down. Wonder why education hadn't helped us. Oh, it may help us get a job. It may help us make a living. Education will make us able to provide for ourselves and our families. But education is not going to make you right with God. Wonder why the educational system is in such disarray, that we hear so many problems in our government system. They have the money. They have the taxes. They have the people. They have the means and ways to do it. Why is it not being accomplished? Why is it not happening as it should? Could it be because that we, a long time ago, said we don't want God? We don't desire the Lord. We don't want His name. We don't want His word. I read just the other day in Paducah, Kentucky, there's a group that has come together for the removal of the Ten Commandments in their court system. Wonder why our court's in such a mess. Is it because we have no rules? Is it because we have no laws? No. We have rules. We have laws. But we've left the best alone. We've left the best to be put aside, to be put in a closet, and to not even be to revered as truth. Truth must be magnified. It must be put under the magnification and proclaimed to a lost and dying world. Truth must be, I believe, systematically taught. There is a difference in teaching and preaching. I try to do both. You teach someone, you try to give them some foundation. That's systematic teaching. That's why we do series. That's why we do certain studies that we have, because it's a systematic way of presenting the Word of God, presenting truth. And we have it here for our help. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Bible there says that the Scriptures are profitable. It means it helps us. What is it profitable in? For doctrine, just simply teaching. And it's for reproof. It's good for us to have reproof in our life. It's good for us to for somebody to say, that's not right. It's good for us when the Bible says, no, you don't do that. It's good for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Not just the preacher, but the people of the Lord, that we be furnished with His word, that we'd have correct understanding. Truth must be adhered to. It doesn't do any good to have truth if we don't accept it, if we don't believe it, if we don't do it. It doesn't do any good if if you have a law out here. I hate to get on these things because I break enough of them. It doesn't do any good to have a law that says put your seatbelt on and you don't put your seatbelt on. Guilty. I got caught the other day too. Sharon's told me for years, said, you're going to get caught. I said, well, when I do, I'll pay the ticket without any complaint. Guess what I did? I didn't complain. I paid the ticket. But I sure am a little more aware now, because there's a law out there that if I don't do it, it's going to cost me. Well, the law of God is very, very clear. And if we don't follow His law, it'll cost us. If we don't follow the law of salvation, it'll cost us eternity. It'll cost us forever. And so we need to understand that we must adhere to, we must cling to. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Luke chapter number 11. The law out there says go 70, and we all do what? We hit 75 because we know the authority probably will not stop us. But that doesn't make us right. I'm guilty. The law says 35, and you get caught going 50. Put my hand down there. I've never done that. Some have. There's consequences when we don't follow the law. There's consequences when we don't follow the word. And they're real. They're forever. Life is so short. It's brittle. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Miss Mary was here last Sunday, sitting right back there. Never thought a thing about her not being here this morning, because she's always in her place. She's always there. But the law of nature, we grow older and somewhere down the line we leave this world. And so she died. She passed away. But she's alive now more than she ever was. And that statement that Brother Larry said that I gave in the funeral, I'm so glad. I was laying there yesterday morning, and the Lord just put on my heart, said, you know, there's some words that Mary heard
"Well done, thou good, faithful servant." Because I believe she was a faithful servant. "Well done." That's what she heard. Why? Because the book says, if you follow the Lord, he's going to give you those words. And there's some words that she did not hear. "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those are words that a lot of people have heard. You see, when we live our life and we draw our last breath, our destiny has been determined by what we do right now. It's not after we die. It does no good to pray for somebody after they've died. What we do for the Lord now is what determines where we spend eternity. And so there are some that have heard, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant." Very personal. But there are multitudes of people that when they draw the last breath, that one day they'll hear those words, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Those words Miss Mary will never hear. Why? Because she believed the truth about salvation. May God help us this morning to understand that truth is not negotiable. If it's true, it's true. We don't negotiate truth. Now, there's some things that we maybe believe about certain things that we can talk about and disagree on, and we can negotiate on the. But when it comes to truth, what God gives us very plainly in his word, those things we do not negotiate. We just must proclaim. Proclaim to our home, our family. Thank God for people that will witness to their family. It's one of the hardest things that you ever will do. But thank God he gives us ability where we can, by our lifestyle, people can see that we're different than maybe we used to be. We are proclaiming truth. He gives us words to say. He gives us a message to give. And on a broader scope, he gives us missionaries to share it with everybody in the world, wherever God calls them to go. Truth is truth. No matter the number that's on the calendar, what year it is, truth is still truth. Today is September the 11th. We all remember that date 15 years ago. But truth now is the same as it was then. And truth then is the same as it was 10 years before that. Probably all of us that are old enough, we know exactly where we were when we got the message about 9/11. I know where I was. And I had to have help to get home, Brother Larry. And some of the others helped me get home from Oklahoma City. One of the hardest messages I've ever preached in my life is that morning. I was scheduled to preach at the chapel service of the Bible college there. And that was a difficult time because nobody's mind was on what we were doing right at that moment, not even mine, because something traumatic had happened that we'd never forget about. And that's set in our minds. You can't change it. Now, some people try to change history. You can't change history. It's forever written. And you can't change the book. It's forever settled. So may God help us this morning to proclaim truth. It may not be popular. It may not be what people want to hear. But truth is truth. And we must proclaim it because we are recipients of the grace of God because somebody proclaimed truth. I'm here this morning because back years and years and years ago, over 100 years ago, there were some people that got together and started a little old church, and it still proclaims truth. You're here this morning because somewhere in your life, somebody preached to you truth. It wasn't mingled with what everybody thought, just what the Word of God said. And that makes us believers. That makes us Christians. And so we are recipients of it. Now we are duty-bound to do the same thing, to proclaim truth, to make sure that we stand where God stands, says what he says, especially about salvation. May God help us this morning that this church, Grace Baptist Church, would never become a church without truth. May we stand upon his word, proclaim it until he comes for us, or we go home to be with him. Let's stand together this morning.